And good morning, Radio Melody listeners. This is Adel Mozup welcoming you to the show. Today, we are talking about local politics and local elections. I'm really glad that you have all joined us today. And we also will be broadcasting live on Facebook on US Arab Radio page, going there momentarily. If you would like to join, please join that live feed as well. If you have any questions for our guests today, you can use the hashtag Radio Baladi, Radio Baladi, and we welcome your questions for the candidates. Hopefully they are great questions, and keep them very general, not directed at one candidate in particular, but you can always ask any follow-up questions. And I'm really pleased to have with me in the studio Dearborn City Council candidates running this August and hopefully November. We have actually 16 candidates running in for Dearborn City Council. We have 5 candidates running for the mayor and another 5 running for the city clerk. So it's going to be an intense and summer in politics and hot summer and a nice summer, hopefully, that we will enjoy and hear from what people who actually I applaud for taking the courage to run and to offer the city their platform and their ideas and their time, which is the most precious. So with me in the studio is Ms. Sharon Dulmage. I also have candidate Aaron Bryans and candidate Sean Green. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So, if we can just go around the table, we have a fourth guest, Mike Hashem, who might be running late. He will join us as soon as he gets here. But if we can go around the room and just formal introductions about yourself. And
ladies first.
So we'll go ahead with Sharon.
Okay,
if you can get closer a little bit to the microphone.
Okay.
Perfect.
I'm Sharon Dulmage, and I'm running for city council. I've been involved in the community for several years. I served as trustee for Dearborn Public Schools and Henry Ford College for 22 years, so I have vast experience with budgets, unions, working with other people, public funding of all kinds, and grants. I've been involved in many organizations throughout the years and continue to be involved in many organizations. I'm a nurse. I work for PACE, and I also work hospice on some weekends.
Nice. Erin?
Hi, good morning. My name is Erin Burns. I was born and raised in Dearborn. I grew up on the east end of town. And I currently serve as the chair of our City Beautiful Commission. I'm also a member of our Downtown Promotions Committee. So I'm really engaged in creating some positive, visible change throughout the city. And that's a really proactive kind of mindset that I'm looking to contribute to the Dearborn City Council. My full-time work is at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, where I serve as the lead for Democratic Engagement and America Reads. So that's a mix of nonpartisan student voter registration and engagement in the democratic process, and also managing a literacy tutoring program that reaches thousands of kids in grades K through 5 throughout Wayne and Washtenaw counties every year. And I'm very excited to be running for city council and running alongside some other wonderful candidates as well.
Sean.
Well, first, thank you for having me today. My name's Sean Green. I'm the only veteran on the ticket. Spent 6 years in the United States Navy in the first Gulf War in Bosnia. For the last 3 years, I've sat as one of the officers on the Housing Commission, which is the Federal Housing Commission, which basically does the exact same thing City Council does for federal housing dollars that the City Council does for the city. We write the budgets, we approve the budgets, but we take it a step further. We actually sign the checks that we spend ourselves. You have to have 2 commissioner signatures. That way we are more responsible for the dollars that are spent. So to give you a prime example, a couple of weeks ago I wrote a check for $175,000. I spent an hour and a half sitting there going through every line item to know where every dollar went. I'm also the gentleman that helped design the new Veterans Park and War Memorial, and then I oversaw the build of it. And that's why it didn't take 3 years to build, like the train station. It took less than a year because they put a military man in charge of it.
Okay.
I've lived in this city for 11 years, and the 11 years I've been here, I've been giving back to the city for the last seven, which means that over 50% of the time that I've been in this city, I've been giving back to the city on a full-time basis. I'm semi-retired. I used to own restaurants for 20 years. I own 13 different restaurants with four different concepts. So I understand what the dollar means. I understand what diversity means, because everybody knows in the restaurant field, you have to be diverse because you interact with every walk of life every day. So again, thank you for having me here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And thank you so much for accepting that invitation. And I'm really glad that you came on a Friday morning. So thank you. If I can ask, what made you run? And we'll start with you, John. Was there a moment when you woke up one day and were like, you know, I really want to run for city council and make a change or serve the city, the residents in Dearborn?
Well, mine's a little different. For the last basically 3 years, when I was commander of the Dearborn Allied War Veterans Council, I did all kinds of events. The Memorial Day event, Veterans Day, when we did the dedication of the park, I got to meet quite a few civic leaders and became pretty good friends with a gentleman by the name of Senator Morris Hood. And Senator Hood, who's our senator in Dearborn, basically kept calling, going, you need to run for council. You need to run for council. And I was like, you know, I'm not a politician. He goes, what do you mean you're not a politician? I said, well, I'm too smart for that. And he goes, okay. And so then I started, you know, it was in the back of my head, and so I started calling some people. I talked to Debbie Dingell. She goes, you'd be the best thing for the city. The mayor of Dearborn currently said the same thing. Everybody kept telling me, but these were people in politics. So then all of a sudden, people in the community started saying the same thing. And so before I decided to do it, I started asking these people why. I said, just because I speak well in front of a group? They go, no, you're the most ethical person and you're honest. You're not afraid to tell somebody, you know, you're a jackass. And I'm not. I hope I can say that. But it's the simple concept that, you know, for the last 3.5 years, I've watched every city council meeting, every one of them, either online or I've gone to them. And when you get up there in front of city council, it's a scary thing because not like the old city council hall, the new one, they're up on a pedestal. The one before, they were down below and people looked down. And it's very intimidating.
Nice observation, yeah.
And so when you get there, the first thing you have to do is you have to tell them your name and where you live. And so I started going to these people and afterwards, a couple of weeks afterwards, and asking them, did your problem get resolved? And over 95% of the people said no. And so basically it's going in their ears of our civic leaders, but it's not being resolved. And I'm from a generation or from a community that when you tell somebody you're going to do something, you do it. You don't let it fall on deaf ears. You don't let people go and just wonder, well, I know my city's not going to do anything, and I hear that a lot, and I'm sure we all have, that, you know, we got a great city, but they don't do anything for us because they don't truly care. And so I want to make sure that our city has a voice,
right,
and that somebody does what they say they're going to do.
Aaron, what made you decide to run?
Sure. So for me, back in 2015, I was part of the Michigan Political Leadership Program through Michigan State University. So I swapped colors for about a year there from my U of M to MSU.
Uh-oh.
I know, it's pretty scandalous, but at least it's not Ohio State, right? So
right,
I think I'm still okay.
I give you that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But it was a great program. It brought together about 24 people, 12 women, 12 men from across the state, different political backgrounds, geography, perspectives, all of those important pieces. And through that experience, I got to meet people and just hear different perspectives that I never would have otherwise. And I was already interested in politics. I wasn't sure if I was planning to run or not. But that program, for me, really sparked my interest. And I think gave me some really concrete skills in dialogue, especially across the political spectrum. And I think that's really important on a local level. In Dearborn, obviously, our race is nonpartisan. So I know that if I'm elected, I'll be working with people from, you know, various backgrounds and different points of view, and I'm actually really excited about that. I think that that's where we get the most interesting ideas and concepts to really move our city and the people of Dearborn forward. So that's one thing that really sparked my interest. And also currently we only have one woman on our city council, and we certainly need more diversity and representation on that end. So I'm hoping that we can move that piece forward this year and into the future. I think that's really important as well. And for me, you know, having lived in the city for a long time, I was away for 2 years for grad school. I lived in Brooklyn, New York, and taught there for a few years. But for almost all of my life, I've been in Dearborn. And I think that for me, I have a really good sense of our community needs, the concerns, and the hopes as well. So I really look forward to just being a voice for all of our residents, really valuing our diversity, and making sure that all voices and experiences are valued and heard and responded to as well. I think that's really important.
Chair?
I've been in Dearborn for over 50 years, and I know every inch of this city, and I've probably walked it. For the 22 years that I was on the Board of Education and Henry Ford College, there are over 35 buildings with the two combined. I have been in each and every one of them, and they serve students from 2-3 years old up through senior citizens. There are senior citizen programs. I believe that I am able to work with very diverse groups, and I have a proven track record of doing that. I have worked with people who recent immigrants was part of actually the development of the first bilingual program in Dearborn, which was at Salina School. And that was interesting, and I continue to support programs to help all people in Dearborn, not just the students. Currently, I work with senior citizens and have for 32 years. My whole role in nursing has been working with senior citizens. Specifically, right now, I work with senior citizens of very low income, and I help find them resources in the community, and I help find them resources in the community and programs to fit their needs. I also, as I said, work hospice in the area. Mm-hmm. But I have walked every street in this city. I don't even need a GPS to find my way around. I think I know every restaurant, every store, every city. I've been very active in the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce for a number of years, was on the board of directors, and have been an ambassador for many years. I've walked the streets as part of that group, going business to business, asking how we could better serve the community or better serve the businesses. We were a business owner at one time, so I'm quite familiar with the things that go on with keeping a business open in Dearborn, which is very difficult. Ours closed, and my husband passed away, so we no longer have that business, but I still continue to be involved. I think this is probably the 15th or 16th year that I've worked on the chamber auction, plus all of the other things that they do. I've worked with Goodfellows and senior programs. I've done all kinds of things in the community, and I just want to give back. One of the things I'm really proud to say is of the years that I served on the Board of Ed, there are numerous meetings in addition to the televised meetings. Yeah. In all of those years, I missed 5 meetings. I had a perfect track record, really. So it comes out to like 99.something% for attendance. And I started at the beginning of the meeting, and I stayed through the end of the meeting. I never left early. So I'm proud of that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. And thanks to all the listeners on Facebook. We're getting a lot of good vibes. So if you are watching, please share the video to your friends so other people can join in as well. And you're welcome to send in your questions on the Facebook page, either on my personal page, which the broadcast is on, or on US Arab Radio page, on Radio Baladi's page. We will take a commercial break. And once we come back, we're going to be asking our candidates about their issues, their platform, and what they feel more passionate about. So we will take a commercial break, and we will be back. It will only be a few minutes.
The Rama Relief Foundation provides humanitarian aid into areas inside of war-torn Syria, as well as aid to the refugees who have fled to the neighboring countries in the Middle East. The foundation offers food baskets, container shipment, mental health, education, soup kitchens, and more. Go to ramarelief.org or call 248-990-4247. Any donation amount made to Rama will go to sustaining many lives. Call now 248-990-4247.
When you're looking for the best in optical care, Dr. Imad Nakash is your doctor to see. With years of experience and thousands of successful procedures performed, you can trust your eyes to Dr. Imad Nakash. See Dr. Imad Nakash and his professional staff for your eye care needs. There's two locations to serve you. In Hazel Park, call 248-336-3937. 248-336-3937. In Rochester Hills, call 248-299-3937. That's 248-299-3937.
A car accident can change your life in an instant. As a result of a car accident, you may become unemployed. As a result of a car accident, you may need a lot of medical treatment. People think that insurance companies are on their side. Why? Because they're giving them one or two benefits. Are they giving them all the benefits they deserve? How would one know unless you consult with an attorney? Call the law offices of Jumana Kirus at 248-557-3645. 248-557-3645.
It's never too early to get your child on the right track. From their first words to first grade, Dreamy Children's Center in Troy works closely with parents to provide an experience that goes beyond early education. The highly qualified and experienced staff use a variety of programs that can help nurture important personality traits like responsibility, independence, problem solving, motivation, and respect. They also have educational programs ranging from preschooling for infants, toddlers, transitional toddlers, and pre-K to Montessori-approved programs and bilingual curriculums for young children. They're open from 6 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., can provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner with snacks in between, and can also arrange for after-school pickup. Dreamy Children's Center in Troy is located at 37373 DeQuinder, just above 16 Mile Road, and can be found on Facebook at Dreamy Children's Center. Ask about the free preschool program. Call today, 248-680-9170, 248-680-9170.
And welcome back to Radio Bellady Show. This is Adel Mozab in a series, what we're calling the Candidates Show. And we're hosting local candidates running for local offices in Metro Detroit. And today we have City Council candidates for the City of Dearborn here with us today, four of them. And we will be hosting more in the next Fridays until election. Just to remind listeners who are in cities where they're holding municipal elections, the election will be on August 8th for the primary and November 7th for the general elections. So before the commercial break, I had three guests with me, and the fourth had just joined, and I'm glad he did. Before we go on to our next question, we'll actually give him the chance to introduce himself and give us a background about him and why he's running for the City of Dearborn Council.
Go ahead. Hello, everyone. My name is Mike Hesham. I'm 23 years old. I currently reside in Dearborn. I was born and raised in the city. First of all, I got kind of influenced to kind of run from my friends at first. I didn't even see myself running for council ever in my life or running for a public office. But now I seriously got involved into it, and I seen that our city needs major changes in the leadership in the city. And it takes somebody with a strong business mind to kind of do it, like myself. So that's part of the reason I'm running.
Thank you once again, Sean. Mike, for joining us. Trying to get this Facebook to work. Okay, so it switched. So we'll go ahead around the room and ask about issues that you feel very passionate, and if we can keep it to two to three major issues that you believe are the most important ones or dear to your heart, when it comes to the city issues and why. So, Sharon, we'll begin with you.
One of the major issues I see is equal enforcement of the ordinances across the board. They are not being enforced the same for everybody or consistently, and that takes into account the building codes, the other ordinances, and they're just not enforced equally. And I think that I think part of that results from needing better training for the officers out there doing the work and increasing the expectations of how they do their job, and then it takes the department head actually checking to make sure that things are followed through and enforced equally. And in my field, I always have said I inspect what I expect, and that's what I would expect department heads to do as far as the ordinances. The other issue, and it's not really an issue, it's an opportunity. Right now we enjoy wonderful city services. Our police and fire protection are the best. There are always opportunities for improvement. I know that it takes a large portion of our budget. Our fire department, the staffing levels are a concern, as they are in the police department. And I expect that, I expect that we maintain the staffing levels that are written out in the ordinances or in the city charter. However, with the combination of Melvindale, the ordinance specifically says residents. It does not include the 10,500 population of Melvindale. So that's always something to look at. But aside, the other things that I think are really important is to, I think as a council person, you should drive around the city and look and see what's going on and know the businesses, know the people, talk to them, and drive around. Pick a different area every week and visit it and see how things are doing and talk to the people. And I Right. think that's really important, to have a one-on-one conversation with the people in the community and to bring back the trust in government, because I don't think there is much trust in the council or administration at this time. I think there are ways to work together, and I think it's important to do that. And as a council person, I certainly would make sure that that would happen.
Sure.
I like to drive around the city and look. It's kind of one of my hobbies.
Actually, I do Healthy Dearborn on Wednesdays. We do bike around, and the city, every time we go and visit a neighborhood, it just amazes me how different and how nice and unique the city is. So thank you, Jen. You can take the mic, Erin.
Sure. So one issue that's really near and dear to my heart really revolves around our neighborhoods. I feel like the neighborhoods, as you mentioned, are all very unique. They have a lot of character in terms of the homes and the people who live there. And I feel like the neighborhoods really are the heartbeat of our city. In my work with City Beautiful over the past 4 years, I've organized the Eastbourne Neighborhood Cleanup. It's brought together students from Woodworth and Fortson, business owners from the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, homeowners, all sorts of folks. And for me, really being part of working with young people especially, to let them know that you're never too young to take on a leadership role, to create positive change in your neighborhood and kind of a vision for your city and how you live on the day-to-day, is something that's really exciting to me. And as a council member, I'd love to push forward some more work with our youth, because they really will be and are the future of our city. So I think if we want our city to go in a positive direction, it starts with us, and it starts with us really working with our young people to see what's important to them and how they'd like to be engaged and how we can help promote that. So that's really important. Also, of course, public safety is huge. And tying that into the neighborhoods, we know that traffic safety is a really key issue, making sure that people are doing the speed limit, stopping at stop signs, watching for kids who are playing in the street, maybe going to the ice cream truck. Those are all really important things, part of quality of life in the neighborhood. And on council, of course, you know, allocating funds in the budget for appropriate staffing levels, training, support through equipment for our firefighters and our police officers, I think those are really key pieces and something that I'm really passionate about and committed to. And last but not least, I'm, you know, very conscious of the environment and really kind of honed in on making sure that we're building a city that's healthy and sustainable into the future. I think that's key. So looking at air quality, especially on the south end where we know we have higher than average rates of asthma. We have factories that are, you know, polluting the air and in some ways making that unsafe for folks in the community. I think that's really important. So we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to mitigate those harmful pollutants. While also investing in some green technology, looking at more solar panels, monitoring our water quality. And some of that also ties into, I think, our public spaces. So walking trails and bike paths, all of that goes into making sure that we're a healthy, really vibrant, and sustainable community.
And thank you very much, Erin, as far as the last point. Mm-hmm. It hits home for me because I've been an advocate for air quality mm-hmm. for a long time, and it just dismays my heart when I see students have a higher rate of asthma in that area of our city just because their parents decided to stay there and they had no choice of moving elsewhere. But that doesn't mean that we give these companies the right to pollute, even though they do meet sometimes the EPA standards and
right.
the DEQ and I'm glad that you're raising that on the city council level, because every time I do raise it with the city council, they tell me this is a state issue or this is a county issue
mm-hmm.
Or the Department of Air Quality issue. It's a statewide. We don't really involve in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't buy that. I think the city council represents our people. We elect mm-hmm. you. And if it's not a city council issue, you mm-hmm. take that. And you take it to the state level. You
sure.
know, utilize your networks, utilize your
mm-hmm.
Relationships to make sure that these companies are held accountable for what they pollute in mm-hmm. to our citizens and to our city. So thank you.
I agree.
Sean?
Well, as a former veteran, or as a veteran, one of my main concerns was the safety and well-being of the people of Dearborn. One of the things I'm running on is I want to change our city charter. We talked about the Melvindale thing. The Melvindale thing is not going away anytime soon. It was
just to clarify to the listeners who don't know about the Melvindale thing.
The merger with our fire departments that we now have shared services. And shared services means basically that the city of Dearborn covers the city of Melvindale. What they did not do was include the city of Melvindale's population when it came into how many firefighters we have. I want to change our city charter that if we do have shared services with another city, that their population is taken into effect so our staffing levels do not drop. Right now we're supposed to have 140 firefighters. We don't have near that. But if you add the Melvindale thing, it's significantly more than we should have significantly more. And so that basically, to make it understandable for everybody, we have firefighters that are getting significant overtime. And because they're getting significant overtime, it puts the firefighters in harm's way. A tired firefighter will either end up hurt or dead, and we do not want that. We do not want injury to a firefighter. And so we need to make sure that they're staffed properly and that they have the tools they need. Secondly, on the west side of Dearborn, there's only one fire station to pretty much to handle the entire west side. So we've had other cities come in a lot more lately. Allen Park's come in. We had Wyandotte come in one time to help. Dearborn Heights, Taylor, and we need to stop that. We need to add another station. But secondly, when we talked about the ordinances enforcement, I've decided to do some more research on it. I don't think what a lot of people understand is that the majority of the people that work for the city of Dearborn are part-time, which means that they work anywhere from 3 to 4 hours a day. A part-time employee does not have the dedication that a full-time employee does. Now, I understand when we went part-time, it was a hard economic time in the city, and it saved the city a ton of money. But right now, we're being prosperous, so we need to go back and hire full-time people. I knocked on a door a couple of weeks ago, and when I knocked on this door, this woman was in her backyard. And so I go to leave, and she comes around, and she's crying. And I said, "Are you okay?" And she goes, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Sean Green. I'm running for council, but that's not important. Are you okay?" And she took me in the backyard, and she goes, "Maybe you can help me with something." And she had two dead rats in her backyard. She goes, "This has been going on for 3 years. This is the 13th and 14th rat we've killed in our yard this year." I started looking into it. We have two enforcement officers for the entire city of Dearborn, one for the east side, one for the west side, to handle rodent problems. However, we have 11 people that handle tall grass. I'm sorry, but rats carry lice, they carry diseases. This woman watches her grandchildren 3 days a week, and she doesn't feel like they can go outside and play in the backyard. And this has been a three-year-long problem. Those are the type of issues that we need to address. What I find even more hilarious is when people say that, I hear people on the west side, well, I'd like to see this done because the Arab American community gets away with this. But when you talk to the Arab American community, they want the same things done because they believe everybody on the as they call it, the white side of Dearborn get away with it. And so what's funny everybody has the same problem.
That. We'll address that right after the commercial. So you're done.
Yeah.
Sean? Thank you, and thank you again. I don't think I mentioned that in the beginning, but thank you very much for your service. We truly honor that. And Mike, what are the two or three top issues that you're running on for City Council?
Well, two or three issues, that's a small number, but I could work with two or three issues right now. The first top issue for me is police and fire services. I just took a tour yesterday of station number 4, of the station, and I seen the tremendous job that our firefighters do. We talked about some things that need improvement, which was allocation of a new fire department. The second thing is also are the staffing levels of the fire department. Not during election season, we hired 12 new firefighters. That should have been done long time ago. If you are a leader on council, you should always advocate for public safety, and yet we fail to do so when we get on the board. The second thing is technology use. We are outdated within technology use within the city. So that's a big key issue. You can't even pay your water bill online. Look at that. We are the city of Ford Motor Company, the city that has millions of dollars of investments coming in. And our technology, it's right in the garbage. Second of all is diversity in the city itself. Okay, you walk into City Hall nowadays, you don't see diversity. You don't see nothing. The Arabic writing on the walls are not even correct. The grammar is off. Okay, my first implementation would be hiring from Dearborn and advocating for that. And that'll bring in diversity, and that'll bring in people feeling better about actually coming to our City Hall and actually doing day-to-day business over there. And third of all would be actually implementing a system using our smartphones with an app that you could track the progress of any DPW issue that you have in your neighborhood when you report it. You don't have to stay 3 days on the phone trying to get a hold of somebody. And those are some of the issues that I truly care about.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mike, for raising these issues. Technology, for me, also speaks home. I'm a technologist myself, and I've dealt with the city many times, and I totally agree with you as far as the lag of technology that we're in there. Definitely, we're totally behind than the neighboring communities or maybe other communities in other states.
And also, I'd like to add in that we gave these people on council and in leadership and government the time to make changes. So it's time for some fresh faces to get on and actually make the real changes instead of the same old going on. So I hope this election season, the citizens will actually for once go ahead and think, hey, we've given these other people a chance, and they have done nothing for our city. Let's bring somebody in fresh with a fresh mind and that would actually work for me, not for a special interest.
Okay. Well, we will take a commercial break. We have a lot of great questions coming from Facebook, and we'll be addressing those great questions. So we will take a quick commercial break. It won't be more than 2 minutes. And then we will be back with Radio Bellady. This is the Candidate Show with Adel Mozab.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Donna, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziad.com. That's www.ziad.com. Ziad, quality products from our family to yours.
Are you ready to go back to get that degree you've always wanted? Is there a young person in your life looking for the right college? Are you ready to transfer to a four-year institution? Well, take a look at today's Marygrove College, a tradition of academic excellence right here, right now in the city of Detroit. Classes start September 5th. There's still time to apply for fall and get scholarships. Don't pass up this opportunity. Marygrove.edu. Ahlan bikum fi Marygrove College.
Are you going to start a restaurant or a grocery store soon? Do you need floor plans and designs? Call Najee Abood at 734-744-9796. Do you want to buy kitchen and restaurant equipment at discount prices? Call Najee Abood now, 734-744-9796. New Concept Products and Design, the trademark of kitchen equipment. 5% discount on all purchases of $75,000 or more. New Concept Products and Design, new location, 31185 Schoolcraft in Livonia. Learn more at www.newconceptproducts.com. Call Najee Abood, 734-744-9796.
And welcome back, listeners, to Radio Bellady, the candidate show. This is the first episode of the series. We're going to have four episodes until August 4th. Every Friday, I'll be with you. So you're stuck with me for a while, but that's fine. So today, I have the pleasure of having in my studio four candidates that are running for the Dearborn City Council, Sharon Delmage, Aaron Bryans, Sean Green, and Mike Hashem. Thank you once again for making the time, especially on a short notice for this one. So before the commercial break, we were just talking about the questions, the issues that you're running on, the platform, and you had some amazing answers. So now we'll address some of the Facebook questions. And the first question, actually, we're getting it from your colleague who's running as well for City Council, Ramit Haider. He's asking, I would like to know how the candidates feel about term limits for the mayor and City Council. And he said, no, my question doesn't mean that I support or don't support limits, just to be clear. So we'll go ahead around the room and hopefully we can keep it down to 30 seconds because this seems like a very straightforward answer. Willie Gilman, Chair.
I think the voters are the ones that invoke term limits on people. I really don't think it's important to put term limits on a city council or the mayor's race because the voters do that. I think it's up to the people who are running to work to make change and to educate the people in the voters as to why change is needed. I think some people get complacent and they're happy and they just vote for name recognition or because they're friends, but I think they really need to start to look more at the issues, and when they're tired of someone, you simply don't vote for them.
Erin?
Sure. This is an important question, and I think it's a conversation that probably needs to be had amongst the entire community, not just the candidates. But this is a good starting point, and I agree with Sharon in that voter education is extremely important, and if there are folks who have been on for a long time and you're ready to see them transition out for any reason, make sure that you're doing your research on the new candidates to know who you're voting for and why. To that end, I would be open to having the conversation about term limits. I think, you know, maybe 3 to 4 terms, that would be 12 to 16 years for council or mayor. I think that would offer enough space and time for folks to make change while hopefully not becoming complacent, which, you know, I think happens sometimes and not just in Dearborn, but, in, you know, in every city where you don't have term limits, I think you run that risk. So I'm open to having the conversation.
Sean?
I view it the same way Sharon does. I believe that if people are not happy with their candidate, that they don't vote for them. I voted for somebody in one election and turned around and not voted for him for the next one because I wasn't happy with it. I think term limits limits the amount of work that you can actually get done because I feel like that you're trying to jump on board when you start, and by the time you're able to get something going, you're on your way out, and then you have more people stopping you from what you want to do. So term limits, I don't like the idea. I think that the voter population is smart enough to pick and choose who they truly want in office.
Mike?
Well, first of all, I just want to tell Ramiz, hello, first of all, and thank you for the question. I think we do need term limits. If you can't get the job done within 4 years, there's no need, for you to be on for another 4 years. So I totally agree with term limits, and those term limits would be 2 terms for you to serve.
Okay. Thank you very much for the answer. We do have a lot of comments, so thank you so much for the people who have commented on Facebook. We have Kim Stanton. She said the resident problem is out of control. The sewer project and the Hill former garbage dump are the cause of this problem. She says also the cleanup parades is the greatest vehicle to get the youngsters or the young people involved and care for the city. We do have a follow-up question, and I think this was about implementation to pay for technology, and it's also coming from Kim. She's asking, how would you propose to pay for technology? It's a very expensive implementation, and I think that's for Mike, and if the other candidates would like to take on that question, that's fine with me.
Well, first of all, thank you for the question. Before any implementation of anything, I'm a numbers person. I have to sit down and I have to see how much is this going to cost, who are the vendors that are going to supply this type of product for us or type of service, and then how would it be most economically beneficial to our city services combined, every single department together. So just not one department capitalizing on the service, but actually having the whole city capitalize on it and actually make a wise investment, not a failed investment. So at the end of the day, we need to sit down and look at numbers and see how this will be beneficial before we make any move on anything.
Thank you. Anybody want to take that question?
Yeah. So working with the Housing Commission, we have to do expenditures all the time. What makes this process so expensive is that not only if we agree to go ahead and move forward with it, you basically got to put it out on a bid system. And then you take your 3 bids, it then goes to council, they pick the bid that they want, but then it goes to legal, then legal looks at the structure of the contract, so it gets even more and more and more expensive. What I propose is that we look into a grant system. What we're finding out there is there's more federal grants out there to help take cities like Dearborn and put them into a higher technological age. With that, the money doesn't come from us. It comes from the federal grant. The way the city does grants is we will only accept a grant that we can continue to allow to happen after the grant money runs out. And what the technology field does is that if we update our system, we should be able to move forward with any particular grant that we get for this. So I would look at grants first instead of taking taxpayer money. Let's take the money from the federal government and move that way.
I support the idea of exploring grant funding, and I also think it's important before we move forward in any way in advancing our technology to take a look at neighboring cities with a similar population size and maybe similar issues, and to take a look at some of the systems that they're utilizing, what's worked for them, what's been challenging. I think this is a good opportunity to lean on and learn from some of our neighbors before we kind of dive headfirst into, this kind of vast world of technology and trying to figure out what works for us. I think we do have a long way to go in making services more accessible, and technology is a great way to do that. But I would start by doing my homework and really researching what's working and what's not in neighboring similar cities.
Sharon, would you like to answer that question as well?
Briefly, I'll answer it. I also support grants, which is what we did in the school district. However, technology, it becomes old after a few years, and so you're on this constant thing of upgrading your technology thing. So I think you have to be really careful and use technology where it's going to be extremely beneficial. And I'll give you a perfect example. In when they first came out with a lot of the programs for various things, the school district looked into a preventive maintenance program, and it allowed us to put all of the maintenance of all of the buildings into this program. So things were inspected, and preventive maintenance was done on a regular basis to everything. And, that's one of the reasons why the boiler at Fortson is in the condition that it is. It's the original boiler in that school,
Wow. As
there are in many of the schools. So I'm really big on, preventive maintenance kinds of things. But that was one example where technology was really used to benefit all of, you know, all of the buildings in the whole city. And, you know, if you'll notice, all of our pools in our buildings work. None of them were torn down and destroyed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I actually want to get back into the divide that people are talking about in the city and how the city is divided and how there is a large number of the Arab Americans who live in the east and south end of Dearborn, while the non-Arab Americans, mostly white Americans, also live on the west side of the city. And there's always that huge conversation that comes with it, and people talk about it, oh, the west side or the east side. I mean, we're still one city. We are one Dearborn. And, you know, a lot of people sometimes attest to that and say, yeah, we are one Dearborn. But at the same time, I don't see myself a fair assessment of distribution of funds or distribution of services among all city residents. So I'd like to get your idea about this. As a person who will represent the entire population, whether people vote for you or not, you're still a representative of the entire city. This conversation of divide between Arab Americans and non-Arab Americans, what do you guys think?
Well,
we'll begin with
this. This is an issue that's near and dear to me. It's one of the things I wanted to run on because I've never seen anything separated like this. When I first moved here, one of the first questions I was asked is, do you live in white Dearborn or Arabic Dearborn? And I was like, I don't know. I said, what do you mean? They go, well, do you live east or west of Southfield? And I said, west. Oh, you're fine. I was like, that's ridiculous. The last time we separated something east and west was when we did north and south, and how'd that work out for our country? Didn't work out very, very well. What I'd like to do is we used to have an Arab American festival here.
Yes.
What I'd like to do is have a cultural festival. Do it at Ford Field, but have the different cultures from our city come together. Have it, you know, not only the Arab American culture, but the Polish culture, the Irish culture, the Italian. Have all the cultures come together, and it to be a learning experience for everybody. So if you do not know the culture of a certain group or population of city, you would learn more about it. What I'd also like to do is one of the things that I want to do personally is put a walking tour together. Get groups from each side. So if you have the people from the west side that have never been to the east side, get walking groups together. It shows you the city, lets you see the city, and basically it crosses that boundary. And then lastly, with the money that the Ford Motor Company is putting in the West Dearborn, I'd like to see the city take some of that pocket money that they have, as I call it, that $30 million that we have sitting in the bank, and let's spend it on the, you know, basically the east side and the west side. I'd like to see the area around Art Space become the next Corktown, because Corktown has outpriced themselves.
Yeah.
And so with Art Space being as artistic as it is, and the Corktown and the hipster community being that type of mentality, we could have that type of mentality open there, make it more profitable for the city and for the surrounding areas. And the same thing down in the east, down the south end. We need to spend money on the roads. I ride a Harley.
Oh, my God.
Going down there, it's like it's. I ride down there just basically to see if I can handle my bike.
No?
Not yet. I've been able to dodge them, but
I got a few.
It's bad, but I'm finding out a lot of those roads are state and county roads and not city. So we need to hold them responsible.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Because each time I do complain to our city council, they tell me, oh, this is a county road, and that stops there.
Mm.
Like, really?
Hold them accountable.
All you have to say? And they do say that to the fairness of the city that they actually have worked on county roads.
Yeah, they
didn't wait for the county to do its job, and they stepped in when it's necessary, but they're not doing enough.
What the
city
does.
If you drive Miller and Wyoming, you will be in, you're like probably driving in my home country in Yemen is probably better.
So what I've noticed is that if you don't mow your lawn, the city will come and mow it, and they'll send you a bill.
Right.
So if the county and the state aren't going to fix it, do the same thing. Fix the road, send them the bill.
Send them the bill. Thank you, Sean. Mike?
I just want to capture on the county issue. During my last debate at the UAW hall, Bob Abraham actually brought up the issue about, hey, well, if the county doesn't mow the lawn on their spaces, that the city mows it. And I looked at it like we're paying our taxes. Our citizens are paying taxes, and the city is actually paying the county, also diverting the taxes to them. Like, why hasn't anybody stepped up yet to the plate and actually, hey, hold the county responsible, send them the bill. If they don't pay it up, we're going to send it to collections and then collect that way and see them in court. That's the way it should be. Nobody should have a free-for-all, you know? The second thing is what you said about the representation in Dearborn.
Or the divide.
The divide in Dearborn. I've been born and raised in Dearborn. I've lived my whole life in Dearborn. Everybody loves everybody in Dearborn, to be honest. You know, you go to any side of Dearborn, there's love everywhere. But what has separated us is the politics. The politics in the city has separated us to a level that I've seen this year more than any other year. And
it's getting uglier.
And it's getting uglier. So this is the solution. If you want representation, start creating districts. Okay? Have somebody from your community represent your voice on council. Not somebody that lives on the other side of the city that doesn't even know your corner street or your corner business. Okay? Have somebody that knows block by block of your area, represents your area, and that's from your area. I say it to everybody that asks me, I don't know what's going on your side of town, but I do know what's going on my side of town.
Right.
So I think that needs to happen. And when we'd have that, we'd have representation from the south end, east end, where whichever end of Dearborn you're at, you will have equal representation with districts.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Aaron, the divide in the city and your thoughts about it.
Absolutely. I think this is a really important question. And I think that the diversity we have in Dearborn is our greatest strength. Above and beyond anything else. So that's something that I really value. And when I moved back, you know, from New York City, I came back to Dearborn for a reason. And that was one of the main reasons. I love our community and everyone in it. I think the divide is real. I think that's something that we really struggle with. You know, just the Southfield Freeway logistically is part of that. It cuts right through the city. And I think it kind of disrupts the flow of our downtown business districts and the connection of our neighborhoods.
So let's get rid of the Southfield.
Right, that'll be the next headline, right?
Yeah.
Candidates suggest bulldozing the Southfield Freeway.
Yeah.
Not necessarily suggesting that. I took it today to get here. I say that to say that's just a real thing, right? That's
right.
Something that we know
is
there. It's going to continue to be there. And that's a real challenge for us. So, but I love the Southfield Freeway. Not at rush hour, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's why I mentioned that. I think it's real. It's just one of those things that's there. But on a deeper note, I think something that we can do to really promote diversity and cross-collaboration and community is to really empower our neighborhood associations. We can do, I think, a better job of recruiting people to join, to take leadership roles, and to really step up and take ownership of the neighborhoods and to be at the table for these important conversations when it comes to crafting a vision for the neighborhood, crafting a vision for the city. I think the more diversity and the more representation we have at the table, the better off we'll be. So I think that's a really important piece. And I know through City Beautiful and the Bike Dearborn program last year, I think they did a bike tour of all of our award-winning homes throughout the city.
Right.
And I know Sean mentioned a walking tour. I love that idea. Let's promote people getting out, getting up off the couch, getting out of your neighborhood, and really learning what the city is truly about to break down some of those barriers and
mm-hmm.
move past some assumptions, many of which are probably false, for better or for worse, that may be present. So let's break down those barriers and bring people together.
Amazing.
Well, probably 40-some years ago, I became friends with a gentleman and worked with him on a diversity committee for the city of Dearborn, because as there were people moving in from other areas, it became something we know we needed to work within the schools, along with the bilingual program. That gentleman was Sir Michael Berry, and he remained my friend until his death, and we were very good friends. And so diversity has always been very important to me, and one of my campaign slogans is community with unity, and I think it's important to I agree about the politics is really part of the thing that is getting in the way, because the people really do love each other. And if people would just mind their own business and let the people do it, just like letting kids play, little children don't have those same feelings that adults have. They're learned. And so I would invite people to come to my neighborhood, and I live in the West End. I live behind Dearborn High School, and I would invite you to come over, and we'll have a cup of coffee, and we'll walk those blocks back there. And I think people will be tremendously surprised about the diversity in those several blocks behind Dearborn High School, because it is going away. People are moving all over the area and feeling comfortable doing so, and I would not have a problem living anywhere in this city.
Thank you. Thank you so much to all the candidates who have joined us today. I really appreciate your time and your effort to voice your platform to the residents of Dearborn and people who are listening to us from there. We hope that you do your research, listeners who are in voting this August. Visit vote411.org. It's a nice, amazing tool by the League of Women Voters that you can check out the where candidates stand on issues. And research your candidates. Do your own research. And I'll see you Friday. And thank you once again to the candidates.
Thank you,
thank you very much. And this podcast will be available. Unfortunately, my phone went out of battery, so Facebook Live went off. So this will be recorded. I'll be sending it to you. You can share it with other people. Thank you for the nice discussion, and have a great weekend. Thank you, everyone.